This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This. It's Reception Perception, the show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
All right, let's talk about Dallas here for a little bit here, Matt. CD Lamb is obviously the shining spectacle in this wide receiver room. They lost Michael Gallup this offseason. They didn't address the wide receiver room almost at all. I want to get your initial reaction to that. How surprised were you surprised at all that Dallas really did not address wide receiver, considering that this was a crazy deep wide receiver draft and they really didn't address it at all?
I mean, what did Dallas address this offseason?
They didn't address running back, I'll tell you that. I mean, they got worse at running back. They didn't address wide receiver.
They didn't address extending their, their one good receiver in CeeDee Lamb. Haven't addressed that yet. Haven't addressed the Dak Prescott contract situation.
But they're all in.
they're all in, baby. They didn't address adding really anyone of significance in free agency. God. They let Dan Quinn goes away and they hire Mike Zimmer. That was they did take a first round tackle, obviously, after Tyron Smith, signed with the New York Jets. So I'm not saying they didn't do anything, but specifically on offense, yeah, they're kind of just running it back from last year, sans Tony Pollard, basically, from a skill position standpoint. And obviously we'll talk about the receivers, but even just viewing this offense in totality, like, this is not a good group of skill position players.
I agree.
Depending on your opinion of Jake Ferguson, I guess. And I think Ferguson's a good tight end. But like, their running back room has got to be one of the five worst in the NFL.
100%.
And like, their receiver room, yes, look, CeeDee Lamb is an elite receiver. CeeDee Lamb has probably got to be in your top five, top six wide receivers in the league. He's incredible. He is a good enough receiver to build the entire offense around, and I've been saying that for years, even well before the Cowboys finally did it in like week six or seven last year. They finally just made him the focal point of the offense, and that was overdue. But the rest of the room, man, like, is Brandon Cooks a needle mover at this point in his career?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
They're putting a lot of stock in like Jalen Tolbert, I guess, to really be the big number three here, to kind of take over. I guess he's going to play a lot of X receiver, with Michael Gallup out the door. And like, he was taking some snaps with away from Gallup last year anyways. But
right.
I mean, this isn't like a guy we've seen a lot from. 249 routes last year for Jalen Tolbert, 22 catches. He did play more than he did as a rookie because he played zero basically as a rookie, did nothing as a rookie. I thought he was an interesting prospect coming in, but not somebody that I necessarily think was like, I had kind of an early fourth, late third round sort of mark for him, which is about where he went. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. They're just asking for a lot in terms of Jalen Tolbert to really step up here.
Yeah, when I look at target distribution, my projections, I've got CeeDee Lamb at 180. I've got Brandon Cooks at 86.25, Jalen Tolbert at 56, and then this rookie, Ryan Flournoy, small school prospect out of, what is it, Southeastern Missouri? Southeastern Missouri State, I think, is where he is from. Southeast Missouri State is Ryan Flournoy. But he's a small school prospect. He had some interesting athletic attributes, but I don't know if you've ever seen him play. I'm just I wasn't blown away by it, okay? So I don't know, man. But obviously, he's going to be a little bit of a project wide receiver. And there's just really not anyone else that's interesting in the wide receiver room. That's why I was surprised. You know, okay, so let's say you don't draft wide receiver or you don't put a lot of stock into it. I mean, they could have addressed that in the offseason through free agency. They didn't. I mean, I don't like what Buffalo did in the wide receiver room either, and we talked about that in our previous episodes. But, I mean, at least they're trying.
Yeah, they threw stuff at it.
Right, like, for Dallas, are they trying? I don't even think they're trying. That's what's confusing me about what we've got going on in terms of the roster build with Dallas. You know, you've got Dak Prescott, you've got CD Lamb. After that, they've just given up. I really am confused by this offseason for Dallas. You at least have to, you know, go through the motions of trying to find a guy other than, again, a small school prospect at a southeastern Missouri State. I just don't understand what Dallas did this offseason.
Yeah, there's been some buzz out of Cowboys circles, which, I mean, who knows what any of that means, about Jalen Brooks, who was a seventh-round pick in 2023 out of South Carolina after transferring from Wingate.
Wow. Nope. Yeah. Never heard of Wingate.
He was going to play at Tarleton State.
Oh, yeah.
Before transferring to South Carolina. You know, known football powerhouses. Tarleton State. Oh, shout out to Tarleton State, for sure. But, I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, sure. But, listen, I like my podcast producer Yahoo's a big Cowboys fan, and he's like, "Do you know anything about this Jalen Brooks guy?" I was like, "Nope, not a freaking thing." I only know what I just regurgitated here because I looked at his Wikipedia page. This is a guy they're like, "Wow, he might end up stealing the number three job," which I don't know. Listen, maybe Jalen Brooks is like a sleeper superstar. I don't got a lot of Wingate College All 22 to be charting routes from. So I don't know, but
okay,
that is pretty interesting. When maybe he's going to be the three, or maybe Jalen. Like I said, Jalen Tolbert has got to step up here. He's another one that I might look to do like a charting profile on, just because.
Dude, he's a third round draft pick. I mean, you can't just fade away into non-existent. You're a third round pick. That's not a nothing pick, man.
No, and like I said, he touched the ball twice as a rookie. Oish. You know, two catches for 12 yards. You don't see a lot of like guys that do that and then come out to be real difference makers. He's already 25 years old. Like, he was a bit of an older prospect coming in. But you know, like I said, he never truly grabbed like a real big time role. He tapped out at a 68% snap share in week two, then popped back up for 62% in week nine, but it's mostly games under 50% of the snaps. It's not like he was, even with Michael Gallup struggling last year, he was taking some reps away from him, but not a ton. So again, he's a guy that needs to step up, but I don't know that I have a degree of confidence to say that. And like I said, then after CeeDee Lamb, man, this is just like, dude, I mean, freaking, you know, knock on wood, whatever, cross all your fingers and toes, but like, what if CeeDee Lamb got hurt?
Oh, what?
I mean,
wow.
this would be probably the worst. No, I think it might be the worst skill position group in the NFL when you consider running backs with around Dak Prescott here and what might be his last year with the team. I don't know.
I mean, they're not going to let him. I mean, they're going to do a stupid Washington thing where they like franchise tag him or something and just get banged. But whatever.
I don't think they can franchise tag him next year.
Did they put that in the contract?
That's like part of his contract.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So then they won't be able to. And they just lose him in free agency. Wow, that would be crazy. I don't know what Dallas is doing. They're in the wilderness, brother. I did want to mention, though, that you did chart Jalen Tolbert for reception perception. And if folks do want to check out that prospect profile, it is on the site. Just go search for Jalen Tolbert. Now, I get it. He, you know, you charted him. He's, you know, not from a big school or anything like that. But his charting profile actually is pretty darn solid, though, Matt, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that he, again, crosses those benchmarks of 70% success rate versus man, 80% success rate versus zone. Those are those benchmarks we want to see. That's pretty good. You look at his route tree, and there's a lot of green on there. He's winning deep, intermediate, and short. Obviously, it's not against elite competition, so I understand. But there are traits there, Matt, that you, I think, highlighted that say, okay, if he can get used to NFL speed and physicality, there's something here from a tool standpoint that Tolbert can play.
Yeah, that was, I think, well, number one, Tolbert, South Alabama. I mean, yeah, obviously, super small school. The level of competition stuff always has to be talked about here with these like Jalen Tolberts and the Sky Moores and those type of college prospect profiles. That's the number one thing. And number two, it was on a four-game sample, so not your typical eight-game sample for reception perception. But yeah, I still thought, again, this is why good profile ended up like saying he's a late third round, early fourth round type player, because
right.
He went out there and was pretty good, you know, 59th percentile against man, 62nd against zone, 74th against press. You know, you probably want those numbers to be a lot higher against lower level of competition, which is, I mean, not that Sky Moore worked out, but why I graded like Sky Moore a lot higher, because he like blew away the low level of competition there. But with Jalen Tolbert, I did think he had the abilities against, like, showed an ability against press, like decent route running against that lower level where maybe he could be an outside receiver in the NFL, maybe in like the Marvin Jones-ish type of, like at his peak, like a Marvin Jones type of player, like that type of archetype, complimentary guy, mostly vertical, wins in tight coverage, little bit mistake prone type of guy, but you know, maybe he could be that sort of archetype receiver. Haven't seen that yet, but that was kind of the evaluation coming into the league.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if he's asked to do more. Also, the fact that they didn't address the wide receiver room at all, it does make me wonder if the coaches did an evaluation and said, you know what, this guy can play. We just got to find a little bit more space for him to operate. And if that's the case, it's interesting. I don't know if that's what happened or if this is just, again, you know, criminal negligence on the front office's part, which is very much in play.
Very possible.
Okay. But you can't rule out the fact that maybe they did some self-scouting and said, you know what, we have to make some snaps available for Jalen Tolbert. By the way, we lost in this whole conversation is where are we at with Brandon Cooks? Because I felt like there were definitely moments last year where you're like, hey man, this is the guy that we saw with the LA Rams really doing some things. You know, he could play outside, he could beat you deep. It's just those moments were a little bit further apart than you would like to see it. And I just wonder if Father Time is catching up here with Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I think Cooks' profiles right now is like a pretty good three. If that makes sense, like when they got him the ball, he was effective. They didn't get him the ball a lot. It's mostly like a downfield receiver too. And so that makes you think like, you know, is this a situation where he's not, you know, quote, earning the targets, or like, is the ball just, look, cause the ball's just going to CeeDee Lamb a ton. Right.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And I think that's where it should, that's by the way, it's where it should have gone. Mm-hmm. You know, 135 catches for CeeDee Lamb last year. And I don't think any of those catches were wasted. That's like, that's what they should have done. It was the right move. But yeah, with Cooks specifically, I'm kind of like, I think he could be a good three right now, but he's their number two. And like, what if he takes another step back? You know, that's where it gets dicey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally agree with that. He's entering his age 31 season right now, so there is going to be a little bit of concern as to, again, some degradation of athletic ability. I don't know. We'll find out, man. We're going to find out. But this is, again, you talk about they're just built on one guy. It's CeeDee Lamb. He took home 48% of the receiver target. So of all the targets that went to receivers, he took home 48%. If it sounds like a lot, it is. But keep in mind, that was not actually the highest in the NFL. Garrett Wilson led the NFL at 58% of wide receiver targets taken home. Drake London was number two at 52.6%. So what's crazy about this, Matt, CeeDee Lamb could actually take home more. I mean, I get it. Like, I understand. Like, he saw 181 targets last year. This dude could see more. There's actually room for him to see more targets in this offense, believe it or not. And we just laid out the dearth of just outstanding talent they have here. Who's a real target earner? We're not sure. Lamb could take home like 190, 200 targets. I mean, that's how insane the talent gap is between CeeDee Lamb and their number two, which, by the way, We're not talking about this either, but CeeDee Lamb's a little bit of a slight player. Can he handle that kind of workload in back-to-back seasons? I think that's a fair question to ask as well.
Yeah, what was it like? I don't know, like 2015, like Julio Jones and Antonio Brown had like 200 target, like both those guys had like 200 targets or something crazy like that. Maybe that's the type of season we see from CeeDee Lamb. And I do remember consuming like some Cowboys beat writers and talking to some people last year, like heading into last season. And that was the tone was like CeeDee Lamb is going to get less, you know, going to get fewer targets, but they're going to be more effective targets because they have other playmakers and stuff. And I remember looking at the roster and being like, I don't think so. and to be fair to those beat writers, that is kind of how it was tracking early on in the season.
It's true.
They were trying to, it was kind of, but it was not working out. So I wonder if they're going to come into this with the same thing. Like, yeah, we're going to spread the ball out a little bit more this year. We don't want him taking that pounding or whatever. And then, oh, geez, he's getting, you know, 15 targets every single week because he's the only good player. Right. And by the way, like CeeDee Lamb's not happy right now. You know, he could demand a trade if they don't, you know, get him a contract extension, which they won't trade him, whatever. But you know, we keep talking about the Ayuk thing and stuff like that with him demanding a trade or talking to his buddies on TikTok about trades and they don't want me back and all this stuff. And yeah, CeeDee Lamb had to say on Twitter, some reporters like, oh, I'm just going to show up to his youth camp and we'll be able to ask him contract questions. CeeDee Lamb's like, do not show up at this youth camp and ask me about contract questions. But that's like, it's not as if it's just, oh, all things are smooth here.
It's a great point, man.
If they give him a contract extension, maybe it will be. But right now, like, he's not even all that pleased with the Cowboys. And man, I mean, he's going to have to carry a heavy burden with this team if they don't do something else. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.